Royal Radio on Siren Radio with Natalie Hayes Cowley and some of the finest theatricals on the planet.
Oh, what a circus, oh, what a show. Argentina has gone to town over the death of an actress called Eva Perón. We've all gone crazy, mourning all day and mourning all night, falling over ourselves to get all of the misery right. Oh, what an exit, that's how to go, when they're ringing your curtain down, demand to be buried like Eva Perón. It's quite a sunset, and good for the country in a roundabout way. We've made the front page of all the world's papers today. But who is this Santa Evita? Why all this howling, hysterical sorrow? What kind of goddess has lived among us? How will we ever get by without her? She had some style. The best show in town was the crowd outside the Casa Rosada crying Eva Perón. But that's all gone now. As soon as the smoke from the funeral clears, we're all gonna see and how she did nothing for years. Supposed to have been immortal. That's all they wanted. Not much to ask for. But in the end you could not deliver. Sing you fools, but you got it wrong. Enjoy your praise because you haven't gone long. Your queen is dead, your king is true, and she's not coming back to you. Show business kept us all alive since 17 October 1945. But the star has gone, the glamour's one thing. That's a pretty bad state for a state to be in. Instead of government, we had a state. Instead of ideas, a premium on the spray. Instead of help, we were given a crowd. She didn't say much, but she said it loud. Sing, you fools, but you got it wrong.
fed, so share my glory, so share my coffin.
That's perfect lyrics to come out of Halloween and into a whole new world. So share my glory, so share my coffin. Antonio Banderas and Madonna there with Oh What a Circus. Probably the theme that could be said about a former member, of the cast of Robin Hood. Let's not go there, or maybe we will. I don't know. We've got another fabulous edition of Royal Radio all set and ready to go with, as usual these days, thank the Lord, Natalie Hayes-Cowley. Good to see you, Natalie.
Good to see you too.
And not Ollie this time, but...
No Ollie today.
It goes into one thing, really.
We have Harvey with
Harvey,
us today.
Exactly. And not the rabbit either, Harvey. I think when last we spoke, I was doing a little location report at the theatre.
We were
around the oblong table.
Yes.
In the green room.
Yeah, the table.
The table that
scribes.
Exactly.
And
it is a privileged table. It's rather like, I suppose, the Lincolnshire equivalent of the Arthurian round table, except it's not round and it is covered in lots of things, and lots of very famous people have sat around it.
Yes, yeah. And lots of brilliant shows have been created around it as well.
Exactly.
For decades.
We have got an Evita theme to this programme, but as it is Royal Radio, as it is the official radio programme and podcast for the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, it's fair to say, Natalie, it's time to address the message, messenger, and just sort of say why, actually, sadly, Melinda has not been able to actually take part in this year's pantomime.
I know. It's incredibly disheartening, to say the least, especially this. Yes. Well, you know, it is what it is. I mean, this rarely happens. It does rarely happen. And it was bound to happen at some point for us. But do you know what? We are working incredibly hard. It's something, obviously, that's proven quite difficult for the full team. Harvey, especially, having to recreate all the marketing in its entirety for Panto, as well as obviously doing the programme and obviously the next brochure, because Harvey does all the illustration and design work and artwork for the theatre. So we're working hard. The hard thing is I've got so many people that would love to do Panto, and when I'm doing all the calls around everyone, they're like, oh, Natalie, I just can't get off.
Sooner.
I know, because 7 weeks is a long time, you know, and it's a sort of double-edged sword, really, because obviously initially I wanted a female celebrity for the role of Sheriff Nottingham. And obviously Melinda, wanted to be a goody character. So I wrote in a fairy character for her. So there actually isn't a fairy in Robin Hood. So I'm trying really hard to recast the role so that we've still got the role in there, more so for my own selfish needs for scene changes, because that's what the fairy obviously does to cover big things. So rather than taking her out and obviously restructuring the full sort of coverage, it's hard to explain, but coverage scenes, I want to keep the fairy in, but it's proving very difficult. Sure. It may even be the point where we have to split it between two performers, because to get someone that's not got filming or TV commitments, theatre commitments, and indeed family commitments of people booked to go away for Christmas and New Year at this late stage, it is incredibly frustrating. But we will do it. The show must go on. It will be fine.
Because we have got Barney Harwood from Blue Peter, of course, and Pack Patrol, who's very much the fore there. We've also got Zoe.
Zoe Hedge,
exactly,
yes.
Zoe Hedge.
Her voice is... Oh my goodness, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And Christopher Johnson, you know, he has been in every single one of my productions, and, you know, Yonko, CBBC's Yonko.
And what do all wonderful. Those three wonderful fine souls have in common? They've all done interviews for Royal Radio.
They have.
You see, that's the message. The quality's actually there. we shall not even mention the messenger again. It's put to one side. But we will be speaking about Evita in a few moments in full force. Actually, briefly going back to the pantomime, a reminder, it's 6th of December to the 5th of January.
It is indeed.
Tickets going reasonably well, presumably?
Yes, they are.
Exactly.
Yes, they are.
So that's all great stuff. And we'll continue to obviously work through that and look forward to following the thing through.
Brilliant.
The pantomime season goes. So, yes, Evita with K-Odds. Not to be confused with Leods, or indeed, if you're a Geordie lad, the Leods. It's a way forward, Harvey. K-Odds is actually the County Amateur Operatic Dramatic Society.
Yes, they
and
are indeed.
Are they, if memory serves, the ones who also put on Dirty Rotten Scoundrels
they
a
did.
Wee while ago?
They yes. did.
With a little canine?
Yes.
Doggy in there?
Yes.
Is there a little doggy in Evita?
Ooh, I couldn't possibly say.
No, exactly.
Couldn't possibly say. But I tell you what, they've been in all week, so they've been doing the get-in, and the stage has never looked so large. Amazing. I mean, yeah, there's no portals or wing flats in the side. It's all open. The set that actually our stage manager, Ian, has done an incredible job building. Oh, my goodness. It's
working on it all week.
Yeah, we've literally got teams and teams of people in putting this show together. It is going to look incredible and sound incredible. I've heard fantastic reports, obviously, about the rehearsals and how well they're going. The orchestra sounds absolutely... I mean, the score's magical anyway. It's one of actually my personal favourite.
Is it?
Yeah, musicals, yes. Absolutely.
I always had you paid more as a Camelot girl.
I like a bit of that.
possibly
cheeky?
Yeah, possibly a bit of West Side Story, but never mind. We're going to be speaking to Janie, I believe, who's one of the...
Yeah. He's the director
of Evita in a matter of seconds, in fact, precisely after we've heard from Madonna.
I need to be dazzling. I want to be rainbow high. They must have excitement, and so must I.
Eyes, hair, mouth, figure, dress, voice, style.
I'm that product. It's vital you sell me. So Machiavelli me, make an Argentine rose. I need to be thrilling. I want to be rainbow. And so do I.
Hair, mouth, figure, dress, voice, style, movement, hands, magic, rings, glamour, face, diamonds, excitement.
All my desk commissados expect me to outshine the enemy. I won't disappoint them. I'm their savior. That's what they call me. So Lauren would call me. Anything goes to make me. Just a little touch of Argentina's brand of star quality.
Wonderful, wonderful incarnation of course, the character of Eva Perón in Evita, which is part of the 70th anniversary celebrations of the County Amateur Operatic Dramatic Society, GAODS, Lincoln, and indeed will be there, as we've just been talking about, at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln from the 8th of November to the 16th of November, Natalie.
It is indeed.
And who better to actually talk about the excitement, the joy, the whole development of the rise of Eva Perón from the poor girl of the Pampas to First Lady of Argentina than the director of this particular production. It's the awesome Janie Smith. How are you, Janie?
I don't know whether I'd use the word awesome, but I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to Royal Radio. Always a delight to connect with your good self. Now, 19-piece orchestra, a company of over 50. I mean, are you just...
Over 70.
Over 70. I mean, are you just raising that bar nudge by nudge? I mean, is it going to be next year you do Ben-Hur, the musical?
Well, you never know, do you? You never know. It's certainly a challenge, Evita, and it certainly has upped the bar. There's no doubt about that.
Definitely will be one of the theatrical highlights of the year. How has it been going so far? Natalie has been very impressed with what she's been hearing so far via her sources. And as we know, Janie, Natalie has her sources of information. We can't ask who they are or where they are, but she does actually sort of find these things out.
Well, it's going very well. It's hugely ambitious. So in order to get quality at the level that we all strive for, with 70 people and with an orchestra of 19, its scale is enormous. So it's been a large job, and we've been at it since April, really, with workshops and so on. But I have to say that as I did when I co-directed Jesus Christ Superstar, I focused heavily on the ensemble. That's not to say that the principal performers aren't amazing, because they are. But when there is such an enormous use of the ensemble, it's really, really important to invest that time with them. And I would just have to say that the company as a whole is just exceptional. So the work has been in investing time on really developing skills for the chorus, the ensemble, the whole company. But of course, now we're in the phase where we're bringing all the technical things together, which is also equally exciting. So the set is going up in the Theatre Royal as I speak, and most of the company have been in helping with it. And it's a very unusual set. I don't think that many people will have seen anything quite like it at the Theatre Royal before. It's not traditional. We've opened up the whole stage. And I hope it will be very exciting. So, yes, it's exciting. It's always brilliant at this time. It gets very raw as opening night approaches, and all these things that you've imagined for years. I've lived with this for a year of my life. You see suddenly all starting to emerge and come together. And, you know, it's just making sure that I get it all in form, like a racehorse, if you like, ready to win the race on Friday night when we open.
You mentioned, obviously, Jesus Christ Superstar, clearly onto Evita. Mm. Is chess on the horizon?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think to be perfectly honest with you, just going back to Evita, I think it's Weber and Rice's most complex piece. It's certainly more complex than Superstar. Mm. I think, certainly, it's been the most challenging. My biggest theatrical challenge so far has been Evita. But then, we don't like doing easy things. I mean, chess is good.
But it's got added ABBA, hasn't it? It's got Benny and Bjorn.
It's got added ABBA, well, yes, absolutely. And I'm not to criticise it. I just think, I mean, I know when we were sort of first setting out, David Williams and I, who was my musical director, we both have sort of very similar ways of working, and the one thing that attracted David was its complexity. And we had the Sitzprobe, the sitting rehearsal, which is the first time when the company get to sing with the full orchestra, last Sunday, and it was just astonishing to hear the complexity.
Will you not ever attempt to, Janie, to simply keep it simple and just do Tell Me on a Sunday?
Yeah. No, I never do anything.
No,
I never
do anything. Exactly.
I think my husband would probably agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. So I can see that obviously Starlight Express and Cats will be possibly sort of booked for the new Theatre Royal Lincoln in the near future with Chaos. Is that right?
Well, do you know, I just think
Natalie's gone pale at this moment. It has to be said.
No,
rollerblading.
I think you just have to do something that's fresh and new, whatever you do. I mean, we did The King and I last year, and that was extremely successful. And we tried to take a sort of slightly fresh look at it. I just don't think we should be repeating things. I think we should all be looking for something new and exciting. And I think, to be putting this on at the new Theatre Royal is really exciting in the way that the concept, the way we've used the staging and the setting and how we're creating the world of the play in a very traditional space is very fresh and captivating, I think.
Off air, I was sharing with both Harvey and Natalie the notion that Dirty Rotten Scoundrels obviously had a nice little canine in that. I think we had a little canine in The King and I. This is why I'm Janie,
yes.
Have we got any sort of canine-friendly sort of scenes in Evita?
Or what do you think?
I'd like to say...
Yes, we have a character joining us on stage, who is called Diogo.
Mm-hmm.
That's his Argentinian
mm-hmm.
name,
mm-hmm.
and otherwise known as the actor Woody.
Yeah.
Who was in The King and I? Who was Captain?
I was saying, oh, you have to come and watch and see. You have to come.
Natalie, I know all was well with the world, but you know that then we had that sort of anonymous.
We love our dogs and animals at the theatre.
I love my
absolutely.
Doggy. There's been one in the Scoundrels. There was one, and one in The King and I, and there'll be one in Evita too.
Excellent stuff. Janie, if you kind of stay with us, we're going to come back to you to talk a little bit more about the magical production. And I know questions will come forth from both Harvey and Natalie after we've taken another little slice of quality from aforementioned product.
Right, OK.
I'm sure he enjoyed you. Don't act sad or surprised. Let's be friends, civilized. Come on, little one. Don't stand there like a dummy. The day you knew would arrive is here. You'll survive. So move, funny face. I like your conversation. You've a catchy turn of phrase. You're obviously going through some adolescent phase. Maybe you've got something more than just a pretty face. Maybe not.
I think it was a version by Lincolnshire lass Barbara Dixon that I first encountered back in the day, actually before Harvey was born, of Another Suitcase and Another Haul, and it has a certain piquancy and melancholia, even without even seeing the production of Evita. When you actually see it, you see it in context of the show, it's particularly significant, but there we are. Ah, did you have a particular favourite number from the actual oeuvre that you've put together, JD?
That's an interesting question. I love Lament, which is the very last piece of it.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, You Must Love Me wasn't in the original stage production. Of course, it was put in originally for the film for Madonna.
Mm.
And I know that David wasn't too keen on having it in because he felt it slowed the second act down.
Mm.
But there was a massive outcry when it was brought up, and actually it is very, very beautiful, that one. But then I love A New Argentina. It's very exhilarating, and it's just full of amazing pieces of music, really. I think probably Lament, if you were really to push me.
All right. Interesting. Mm. Harvey, any thoughts are you looking forward to seeing? Have you seen Evita before?
I must say, I haven't, but I think this would be a great, with it being the 70th anniversary, would be a great way for me to get into it, definitely.
So, 70th anniversary of Chaos, effectively, yeah. As opposed to Evita. I mean, that's 1950s, yes, it's not more than that. Exactly, yes, yeah. And were you familiar with the story of Evita Perón and the marriage to Juan Perón?
I've read into it, yeah.
Yeah. And only Mrs. Thatcher. All right, so, after fashion. No, only kidding. That's a line from that. I mean, where would you pitch it in terms of your thoughts historically, Jim? I mean, is Evita, because obviously seen as a saint, seen as a sinner,
both.
Right,
that's so. The most amazing thing. She's considered by the poor as a saint.
Mm.
She's considered by the two factions who absolutely loathed her, the military and the aristocracy, as a whore.
Yeah.
And indeed, there is evidence that supports both views. So it's this strange conflict. And that's what's so interesting about the musical and the way Tim Rice wrote it, because Evita tells her story and presents her legacy in the show, whilst the character of Che presents his legacy, which is a completely different view. So you have these two opposing ideas about who this woman was, and the audience in the end decide, I suspect. So it is really interesting from that point of view. But I think, you know, if you consider we're talking late 40s, early 50s,
yeah.
You know, this is a country, Argentina, where politically suffrage, women's suffrage was apparently part of government. But in fact, women didn't have the vote.
Mm.
It was only when Eva Perón, came to some sort of power that actually happened. And for someone to have come from where she did, to become the most powerful woman in Argentina, if not South America. It's quite astonishing, really, of the time. And I think, you know, politically, there are lots of very interesting references in Evita to our own situation at the moment. There's this amazing song called The Art of the Possible, and it's referring to politics as being the art of the possible. And it's quite amusing when you think of the sort of political situation that we all find ourselves in at the moment, whichever side you come from or you are on. It's interesting, but I do think that she has, Eva Perón has become this iconic figure, and I think she's very human, and I think that stories about real human beings, I think, you know, Evita isn't a political story, but it's a story about people who are involved in politics. But essentially, it's the story of human beings. And I think that's its appeal, really. And I think that's part of her appeal, that she very clearly was flawed in lots of respects. And, you know, fascinating things about what happened to her body after she died, is it went missing for 17 years.
Well, you've got to have some way of actually getting the relics to actually sort of be shipped around for various sorts of aspects.
Well, most astonishingly, I mean, it went to Italy for some of its time, but then ended up in Spain when Juan Perón was living there with his next wife, Isabella. And apparently they kept it on the dining room table, the coffin.
I mean, I do appreciate that I think one of the founding fathers of utilitarianism was actually embalmed and left in Imperial College London. I think that was what happened with respect to John Stuart Mill, if I recall. But, I mean, there's a difference between actually being in the sort of foyer of a university, which, again, weird in its own perhaps way, and actually, I suppose it's a talking point, isn't it? You know? Oh, what a wonderful sort of thing. Is this your first, this is my current wife, and my sort of former wife you can actually see.
The line.
Exactly.
You can't make it up.
I know. Astonishing.
Natalie, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Janie, it's just, I mean, I was just actually saying earlier how incredible the set looks and how the stage looks and, you know, the attention to detail, I have to say, with Kayard's on everything. I mean, I'm a bit of a stickler for that.
I have noticed
even that. Things I think that the audience won't see, it's got to be there. And these guys have done the exact same thing with this. It's really going to be an incredible show. An emotional journey as well. And it's such... She's so vulnerable for me. I mean, it's one of my favourite musicals, I have to say. And how it's her story sort of portrayed throughout and all the different sort of emotional things. It's very raw, isn't it? And I think there's going to be lots of tears in the audience. I think the Usherettes may have to have boxes of tissues, I believe.
I think so. I think it is intensely moving. And the fact that we've stripped it right back, there's no faff with it. You're absolutely right, Natalie. Everything always in theatre is about attention to detail. Mm. But it doesn't mean that you have to overload it with stuff. I think that you know, my concept was to strip everything away and leave it with the story that tells itself. I went and saw it, the tour, and it's full of coffins and lilies and all of that sort of thing, and we haven't got that.
We've just got out of Halloween.
It's not that. It's about, you know, just like the hair, you know, what they're wearing and everything that, you know, that things that are necessary to it and, you know, when you're looking at, you know.
Massive attention to detail, yes. To costume. I mean, it's been a massive job, obviously, for James Easter, our costume designer. But, I mean, you know, we have actually built a couture piece, which is the original Dior bar suit. The new look bar suit.
Wow.
That has been made, and that is, there's a piece in the programme about its construction, because no pattern existed. So we've been through a toile, we've been through a rehearsal jacket, and the finished object is a piece of couture. And of course, the white gown for Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, is a closely guarded secret. I think, you know, there are things that you really, really, really go to town on in terms of accuracy and attention to detail. But, you know, non-essential things are not there because the story and the characters and the acting.
Speaks for themselves, yeah.
And the music, the sound. I mean, doing this professionally would be difficult because paying a chorus of 70 and an orchestra of 19 is hugely expensive. I think the national tour had 25 to 30 performers and they were using, well, I think there were four musicians and, you know, the rest was using recordings and things. So to hear all of this live, this acoustic is astonishing. And I hope people are in for a real treat.
I'm sure.
They will. They will, absolutely.
Really exciting.
Definitely will. Janie, can we give a few mentions to the leads? Because obviously we've talked extensively about the cast, etc.
Absolutely, yes. My amazing, amazing leads. Obviously, we'll start with Ava herself, being played by Helen Evans, who is astonishing, has this incredible range, delicacy to enormous power. Che, fabulously witty, energetic, cynical, very sexy, as you would expect. Matt Perron, also incredibly sexy and very strong, enormous presence, Che being played by David Warman. Matt Bryan playing Perron, fabulous. Alan Taylor playing this lovely, amusing character of Magaldi, the tango singer. And then the lovely Emma Whiten, who is playing Perron's mistress. Amazing. I could not wish for a better company of performers, of creatives and of technicals. It's full of love. My big belief is that in order to create beautiful, good theatre, you have to have a company that's full of love. And this company is. It's generous, it's supportive, it's brave, and amazing.
And I'd have to turn around and say that probably Kayards could not wish for a more perfect director than your good self, Janie Smith.
You don't do it on your own. There's absolutely no way.
I always thought you were an auteur. I thought you basically said, no, it has to be like that, otherwise it's just not there at all. Well, you were the Alfred Hitchcock of the whole scenario.
Well, it sort of does. It sort of is. I have to say, you know, I don't believe in micromanagement. You know, there is a concept, and everything that is in the world of the play has to fit, has to be right, and if it, you know, otherwise it sticks out like a sore thumb, and somebody's got to have that eye, don't they? But I'm a director, I'm not a dictator.
Nice. Yeah, well said. Could do worse than actually use that as a slogan for the coming elections, really. But anyway. I mentioned no parties, so just let people fill it in their own sort of time, etc. Because you could be listening to this if you've downloaded it well after the podcast when we're right in the midst of Purda, as they refer to it. We can't mention anything from that point of view. Janie, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with you.
Well,
many thanks
thank
indeed.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk about it. And the audience is huge already for it, and I hope they are moved
to
the extreme with it.
They will
be. So.
We need to get that full house board for all the shows it deserves.
That's the ambition, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
That is such an ambition. That would be absolutely amazing if we could do that.
It will work. Janie Smith, many thanks indeed. Take care now.
No, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We may squeeze in Don't Cry For Me Argentina, but it would be a cliche to do so. And we don't do cliches on Royal Radio. We're above that. You're listening to Royal Radio on Siren Radio. And we have in the studio, of course, Natalie Hayes-Cowley and, of course, Harvey, who is the official role Harvey is?
Graphic designer.
Graphic designer.
Yeah.
Okay, so you create the wonderful magical things and the images that we see, such as the big face of Al Murray, landlord of Hope and Glory.
I know, definitely. Looking forward to this one.
27th of November, 28th of November,
yeah.
And this is pretty much the show before it actually goes stratospheric, isn't it?
Actually. No, it is his tour. It's not a warm-up, it's his actual tour. So not only did he say he would like to come with his tour to the theatre, he then contacted and said, actually, I'd like to come for another night. And as much as it kind of pushes back our...
Take that, Melinda Messenger!
No, as much as it pushes back, obviously, puts the strain on, obviously, the guys, obviously, backstage to do the get-in for Panto, we were like, we cannot say no to Al Murray. So it does kind of hinder our sort of build of the Panto set and stuff. But what an incredible night. I mean, both nights will be. One sold out. The other one, I think we got about 10 or so tickets left.
Yeah, not many left now.
But, yeah, apparently there's lots of beer chucking. Bit concerned about that, but... but yeah, no, how exciting. How exciting for him to come to Lincoln.
Title, Landlord of Hope and Glory. We know what he's doing there. And I suspect there might be one or two political comments made as well.
Maybe, yes.
Just a thought. Yeah. And a reminder, in terms of folk who actually want to go to the musical, and this programme, of course, is launched to the world. It's released, or dropped, to use the vernacular in podcast language, on the 8th of November. So that's the opening night. Runs to the 16th of November. Best to get in touch with you as soon as possible, really.
Absolutely, because we really are filling up, and these guys have worked so hard. You know, they all have day jobs as well, so they've been rehearsing in an evening and weekends throughout the year, and it is sounding incredible. It's looking incredible. If anyone is a theatre fan who loves musicals, who wants to see something different at the theatre and see it being staged in a different way, I mean, you've never seen anything quite like it, and it deserves... Full houses. It deserves full houses.
And then, as we look to January, this band emerges. just one of his wonderful songs from his songbook, of course. The legendary MP for Lincoln, formerly Carl... Oh, no, sorry, it's Paul McCartney, wasn't it? Yeah. He's so easy. I mean, and it's separated at birth, isn't it? Carl on one side, Paul on the other. Actually, when I saw McCartney's songbook, I thought, is there no end to what he could actually do as a former MP?
Amazing.
11th of January 2020 is when McCartney, the songbook, is going to be performed by a fabulous individual at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, Natalie.
Yes, it's Peter John Jackson. Our theatre followers and people that come along to the theatre a lot will know that will be the day. It's a very popular show that comes to the theatre. And actually, Peter performs in that show.
PJ!
Yes, PJ. And he does. And obviously, he's from the West End. He's in lots of West End shows, but he is incredible. I mean, talking earlier about attention to detail, this performer really does have attention to, even playing left-handed and right-handed. Mm. He's fantastic.
Maybe he might join us on the next edition of Royal Radio, because astoundingly, yes, we're almost at the end.
I know.
Of yet another
goes
edition
too quickly
of Royal Radio. Well, it was an Evita special, so clearly fully supported by Argentina in so many ways, and Weber Rice Productions, and most importantly, KAODS, the County Amateur Operatic Dramatic Society, celebrating 70 years this year. So not just to actually support that, it's well worth going to see an absolutely fantastic stage version of Evita. And if you're listening to this, well, you might already be in the auditorium if you're kind of just chilling that out. Like, it could be that. But if you haven't booked tickets yet, go for them as soon as quickly. As we said, we want household signs for that point of view. The landlord, pub landlord, that is Anne Murray, of course, 27th or 28th. You're probably going to be very lucky if you get any tickets for that.
Yes. Well, so
very lucky indeed. And let's not forget... Oh, yes, we will. Oh, no, we won't. Oh, yes, we will. Oh, no, we won't. The 6th of December through to the 5th of January. It's Robin Hood with a fabulous cast as ever. And it's been slimmed down now, so that's the important thing. Let's look at that sort of basis.
It's actually usually you have the tops you're going to have as principal characters. Yeah. Usually have eight, so I had nine.
There we are.
But I still will have nine.
Yes.
but it won't be the nine that's...
Special bonus guest. In
bonus, yes. So, yes, that character was a bonus character.
And as I say, McCartney Songbook is what kicks off literally 6 days after the closing night of the pantomime on the 11th of January. Who would have thought it? 2020, the year in which we all have perfect vision. Which is fantastic. We'll talk more about other sort of things that are happening. I mean, very briefly, the Dance to the Music scenario is taking place on the 17th of January. We've got Guitar Heroes, we've got Comedy Night coming up. There's so much we've got. But that's for another edition of Royal Radio,
perhaps.
That's
for another edition, yes. We can even talk about our 2021 shows.
This is
how scary is that?
This is planning carried to a ridiculous extent. I think we can probably fairly say, no spoilers here, it's unlikely Melinda Messenger will be in any of the 2021 shows at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. It's unlikely, I think.
We don't know.
You never know. Exactly.
You never know.
Anyway, Harvey, it's been fantastic.
Thank
Natalie,
you.
It's been great. It's your show, after all. It's obviously going to be great, etc. So great stuff. Shall we wrap up with Don't Cry For Me, Argentina?
Oh, yeah. It'd be rude not to.
Change. truth is, I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance. And as for fortune, and as for fame, I never invited them in. Though it seemed to the world they were all I desired, they are illusions. They're not the solutions they promised to be. The answer was here all the time. I love you and hope you love me. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance. Have I said too much? There's nothing more I can think of to say to you. But all you have to do is look at me to know that every word